COVID-19, a word, a name of a virus that none of us had ever heard until about 6 weeks ago. And now it's the only thing that anybody's talking about. You turn on the radio, you turn on the news, you look at the newspaper, you see somebody on the streets and everybody's talking about the coronavirus. COVID-19, it has changed the way we live our lives. 4 months ago, life was normal. It was normal for you, it was normal for me. And today, it's anything but normal. And we're all concerned as to when will life be normal again. It has brought fear, it has brought panic. You just have to go to Walmart or the grocery store and see that. The shelves are bare, toilet paper's gone. Cold medicines. People are concerned, people are worried. Do we need to be? Some say yes. Others think this is just a big hype. Some are calling for conspiracy. Others are just scoffing at it all. Our president has called it war. Schools are closed. Restaurants, theme parks. Our life is being turned upside down. Our generation has never faced anything like this before. Although it's not the first time the world has ever faced something like this. The world has gone through trials and tribulation in the past. People have had to suffer. But our generation, this is the very first time that we've ever had our world turned upside down. And some of us have bought into this lie that if we just work hard, sacrifice, do our very best, that somehow God is obligated to make our path smooth, to help us to be able to work through anything that comes our way without too much difficulty. And the moment the road gets tough, the moment we begin to question what tomorrow's going to bring, we also question whether or not God is really in control. Last Sunday at Central Chapel, our children opened up our service with a song that children learn when they're very young. And the song was, "He has the whole world in his hands." Children have very little difficulty understanding that and accepting that. But then there's people like you and people like me. And we want life to be smooth. We want life to be trouble-free. And the moment something happens, we begin to wonder, God, where are you? Why aren't you taking care of things? The sovereignty of God is something that we just have much trouble understanding. Theologically, that word sovereignty of God simply means that God is in control. That no matter what happens, he is very much in control. If you have a Bible and you go back and you read it and study it, you soon see that God very much is in control. We have a book called Job. And Job was a man, a righteous man in his day. And God allowed him to be tested to prove to Satan that his faith was real. That no matter what happened in his life, Job would stay true to God. And so trials came. Job lost most everything. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his livestock. And then he had boils develop all over his body. And yet Job's faith was strong. He wondered what God was doing, but he stayed faithful. And in the end, he understood what God was doing. If we begin to read in the book of Genesis, we don't have to read very far, and we come to a man by the name of Noah. Noah was living at a time when the thoughts and the imaginations of everyone was evil continually. And God came to Noah and said, "Noah, build this ark." And he trusted God. Even though life was hard and difficult and people were laughing and ridiculing him, he kept his faith in God and God delivered him. Abram, we read about not too far after that, a few chapters. Abram, who became Abraham, was a man that God tested and said, "Abraham, follow me, trust me, and I will be your God and you will be my child." And Abraham walked with God through the thick and the thin, and he learned that God could be trusted. And then we come across Joseph. Joseph was the favorite of his dad. His brothers envied that, and they hated him. And by the time he was 17, they had grabbed a hold of him and managed to sell him to be a slave in a foreign country. While there, he had lies told about him. He was accused of rape. He ended up in prison. And the first 30 years of his life, nothing went well. But Joseph's faith was true. He didn't know what God was doing, but he knew that he could trust God in what he was doing. Today, a global virus has hit us, and we don't know what God is doing. And yet we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. And we're asking the question, is this going to be something that passes real quickly? Is this something that's going to last for a long period of time? And we don't know. And because we don't know, we don't like that. And we're not the first ones. 2,600 years ago, there was a prophet. His name was Habakkuk. And Habakkuk had to learn a very important lesson, a lesson that I think you and I can learn from. But before we turn there, do you remember a prayer that you learned as a child? We called it the Lord's Prayer. And it goes like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. Can I ask, when was the last time you prayed, Thy will be done, O Lord? Because we're living at a time when we're wondering, what is going on? And we're beginning to wonder, maybe, is God in control? Is this a plague that he has thrown at us? And maybe we ought to just bow our knee and pray, Thy will be done, Lord. But Habakkuk was a man that was looking around and he saw crime, he saw injustice. He saw that the righteous were being laughed at and scorned and ridiculed. And it seemed as though the wicked were prospering. And he's beginning to wonder what God is doing. So if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn there. Whether you have a hard copy or whether you have an electronic Bible on your phone, on your computer, I would ask that you turn to the book of Habakkuk with me. Habakkuk is one of those 12 little books at the end of the Old Testament. We call them minor prophets. Habakkuk lived some 2,600 years ago. And as he looked out into his world, he was questioning what God was doing. And God gave him an answer. So Habakkuk is where I want you to go, and we're going to learn that we can trust God even when the world seems to be falling apart. So Habakkuk chapter 1, the first thing that I want us to see in this book is that we need to have concern versus criticism. In Habakkuk chapter 1, we read the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. The prophet's question was this: O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you do not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Habakkuk is living at a time when he's looking around, and he sees this evil stuff going on. And he's beginning to wonder if God is somewhere off in a distant land, somewhere off in a slumber. Why is it that he's not seeing this? Why is it that he's allowing this? Why doesn't he do something? We've got a lot of people that are asking questions that if God is such a loving God, why would he allow the coronavirus to spread as it is? If God is so powerful, why doesn't he put a stop to it? And so Habakkuk is here, and he's concerned. He's concerned at what he sees. He's concerned how the righteous are suffering. He's concerned that the wicked seem to be prospering. And so he is concerned, but he's He's not criticizing God. I think he knows better than that. And so should we. But he is concerned. And so God has an answer for him. It's an answer that he wasn't looking for. It was an answer that he wasn't expecting. But it was the answer that God needed him to understand. And maybe today it's the answer that God wants me to understand. And maybe God wants you to understand. So let's keep reading. So we've read in the first few verses that he's concerned what's going on. He sees trouble. God doesn't seem to be concerned. God isn't really watching. He's screaming out, "Violence, violence, God, please do something." And finally, in verse 5, we read this. "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth and possesses dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as an eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They divide every stronghold, and they heap upon earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes, and he transgresses. He commits offenses, ascribing the power of his God." God is saying to Habakkuk, "Listen, Habakkuk, if I told you what was going on, you wouldn't believe me." And Habakkuk might be thinking, "What do you mean? I wouldn't believe you." And God says, "Habakkuk, I am raising up the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. They are a fierce people. They are a mighty people. And they are wicked. But I am raising them up because Judah has forsaken me. My own people have forsaken me, and I am raising up the Babylonians to bring judgment on you." Now Habakkuk is saying, "No, wait a second, God. We are your people." And God is saying, "Yes, you're supposed to be my people, but you have forsaken me. You have not turned from your wicked ways. You have chased after other gods, and because of that, I am raising up the Babylonians, and they're going to come in here, and they're going to defeat and kill and enslave and take captive." If any of you are familiar with the book of Daniel, you know exactly what's happening. King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he attacks. He destroys. He destroys the temple. And he takes captives. And Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, find themselves in Babylon, and they're slaves in a wicked city because God had to bring judgment on Judah in order to get their attention. And so what Habakkuk is learning here is that God is very much involved. Even though he doesn't understand it, he doesn't know why it's happening, God is in control. And here we are in the 21st century, faced with a virus that we've never heard of. There's no vaccine for it. And the world is shutting down. But God's in control. Now, I'm not like Habakkuk. God hasn't told me what he's doing behind the scene. But nevertheless, the Bible makes very clear that God is in control. And I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But when tomorrow comes, God is still in control. And that's what Habakkuk is learning here. So in chapter 1, he's concerned about what he sees. But he's not criticizing God for what he is doing. He's just curious. And so the rest of chapter 1, Habakkuk says, "How is it, God, that you are going to use these people who are far worse?" The Babylonians were far worse. But the children of Israel knew better. And God was going to bring judgment on them. because of that. So the first thing that we see in the book of Habakkuk is concern. He's not criticizing God. He doesn't know what God is doing, but he's concerned about what he sees. Well, that brings us to chapter 2. The Habakkuk is going to be one of those who are going to be committed to him and to trust him and to believe in him in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the tribulation. If you'll notice in verse 2 of chapter 2, it said, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." God is saying to Habakkuk, listen, write this down. I want people to understand what's going on. They need to know what's coming. It may not come right away. Its time is not yet, but you need to stand steadfast, and the just shall walk by faith. And Habakkuk is that kind of a guy. And he's willing to do that. He's going to be committed. He is going to trust God in the midst of it all. And then in verses 5 and following, God begins to describe that even though at this point he's bringing judgment on Judah, and he's using a wicked nation to do that, but they're not going to get away with it. They're going to be judged down the road. And so God is speaking to Habakkuk, and he's sharing that with him. And then in verses 10 and following, God is saying, listen, Habakkuk, once the judgment is taken care of here, I'm going to take care of the Babylonians as well. And so in verse 10, he says, "You give shameful counsel to your house," talking about Babylon, "cutting off many peoples and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out on the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. Woe to him who builds a town of bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity." And so throughout this chapter, God is saying to Babylon, or to Habakkuk, and to Babylon, that they're not going to get away with this, that one day they too are going to be judged. And we could go back and read how during Daniel's time, Daniel was used to touch the king's heart, King Nebuchadnezzar. He became a believer. But then God raised his people out of there and brought them back, and he brought judgment on Babylon as well. So here's this prophet looking around, all this stuff take place in his world, and he's saying, God, what are you doing? And God says, listen, Habakkuk, you probably wouldn't believe me even if I told you, but I'm going to tell you. I'm bringing judgment onto to my own people, and I'm raising up the Babylonians, and they're the ones that I'm going to use, and they're going to bring this destruction onto you. But don't be overly concerned. Be committed, stay, walk by faith, trust me in this and through this. And one day, later on, I will judge the Babylonians as well. But right now, you've got to trust me. So chapter 1, he learns that he needs to be concerned, but he can't criticize God for what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. We may not like it, we may not enjoy it, but God knows what he's doing. And we need to be committed to him and to walk by faith. And don't allow the corruption of the world in which we live to creep into our own lives, into our own families, into our own churches. We need to trust him and stay true, be committed to him, walk by faith, even in the midst of the darkness. Though we walk through the shadow of the valley of death, we will fear no evil. And so Habakkuk is learning this, that he can trust God, he can lean on God, he can believe that God is in control, even though it appears that the world is falling apart. That brings us to chapter 3. This is really the best part of the book. But if we wouldn't have read chapter 1 and chapter 2, we wouldn't have really appreciated what we find here. Because Habakkuk starts out wondering, God, I don't like what I see. If he would have had television and radio and newspaper of his day, he would have been as confused in his day as we are with the coronavirus. We don't know what's going to happen. Every day, things are changing rapidly. And there's fear. And so Habakkuk was just like us, and he sees what's going on, and he's saying, God, where are you? Why are you allowing this? Why don't you do something? And God said, I am. I am, Habakkuk. You just don't see it yet. And then he says, trust me, I'm in charge, and I will make all things work out. Then in chapter 3, we see the difference between commitment or contentment and confusion. In chapter 3, Habakkuk he's praying, and he's just talking to God, and he's sharing with him his confusion a little bit. But at the end of the book, Habakkuk grabs hold of this, and he understands the need to walk by faith. He understands that he needs to trust the sovereignty of God. He understands that he must believe that God is in control no matter what. And I want you to listen to his prayer. Because what we read here is something that we don't often see in the lives of those who say they're believers. What we find in this prophet's life at the end of the book is such contentment in the midst of trial, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of uncertainty. And yet he says, God, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I'm going to trust you. So if you got your Bibles, follow with me. Chapter 3, starting in verse 16. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to his people, he will invade them with his troops. Habakkuk is understanding this. He's realizing what is going to happen. He knows it's going to get ugly. He doesn't know what tomorrow's going to bring. He doesn't know how much he's going to have to suffer through all of this. But I want you to follow the next few verses. Verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. Habakkuk has finally come to that point where he is saying, God, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. There may not be any food. There may be no food found anywhere. The livestock may perish. But God, no matter what happens, no matter what tomorrow brings, I will trust in you. Habakkuk came to that point in his life where he had such faith and confidence and trusted God, even knowing that tomorrow may be worse than today. Even knowing that it may get far worse than it is before it ever gets better. I think there's a message there for you and me today. Because we're all concerned. We're all worried. We're wondering what tomorrow may bring. You know, there's a New Testament passage that is very familiar. Maybe to you it's familiar to me, but it's the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Philippians. And they were concerned about him. He's in prison, and they're worried about that. And so he writes the book of Philippians to them. And in the last chapter, chapter 4, he says, listen, guys, I'm going to paraphrase for you. He said, I have learned to be content, whatever God may send. He says, I know what it is to have a lot. And I know what it is to have nothing. I know what it is to be full. And I know what it is to be hungry. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's Paul saying? He's saying, not that he can become the greatest football player there ever was through Christ who strengthens him. He's saying, whatever tomorrow may bring, whether my belly is full or whether my belly is hungry, whether I have plenty in my home or I suffer need, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul, like Habakkuk, had found that contentment in God. Whether it's in prison, whether it's being scourged, whether it's being stoned and left for dead, he understood that God was in control. And he trusted him. So here we are, we're faced with COVID-19. We're wondering whether or not a vaccine will soon be developed or not. We're wondering if the spread will be as bad as some have said. I don't know. And you don't know. And we don't like that. We want to hear that God is in control. We want to know that he's got everything together. And he does. All we have to do is go into the scriptures and study them. There's one little verse in the New Testament that tells us this. Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." All things. No, he's not saying that all things are good. But he's saying that all things work together for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. So 2,600 years ago, we find this prophet. He's looking around. He's seeing crime. He's seeing violence. He's seeing corruption. And he's saying, "God, I don't know what you're doing." And God says, "Well, I'm going to tell you, Habakkuk, you might not believe it, but let me explain to you. I'm raising up the Babylonians, your enemies, and they're going to come in here and they're going to clean your clock. But I'm doing it for my own people. In the end, I will judge them. But you've got to trust me. You've got to walk by faith and not by sight, Habakkuk." And so Habakkuk says, "All right, Lord, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I will trust you."